Sam presents Wings to Victory. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. Will Smith, USA. The story of a fighter squadron in the great battle for Tunisia. How Lieutenant Roddy John scored its most spectacular victory. West Coast, ladies and gentlemen, the Army Air Forces present Wings to Victory, a dramatization of American heroism based on combat reports from the fighting fronts. For obvious reasons, the names of characters in these true stories are fictitious.
The 819th American Fighter Squadron called themselves the Forgotten Men. When they arrived in North Africa, they were placed in reserve far to the rear. Their aerodrome was an Arab donkey pasture. They lived in tents bought from the French and ate British rations. They flew combat maneuvers many miles from any chance of actual fighting. Their tempers grew short and their speech bitter. They did not consider themselves destined for any glorious role in the final showdown with Rommel. And Lieutenant Roddy Johns was the last pilot in the group they would have nominated for a hero's laurels. In fact, Roddy's career with the 819th Squadron began most inauspiciously. Returning from his first practice maneuver with B Flight, he heard the voice of his squadron leader calling him on the radio phone.
Squadron leader to Lieutenant Johns. Squadron leader to Lieutenant Johns.
Yes, Captain Barnum?
We'll land single file on the West Strip. You tail us in.
I understand, sir.
Pay no attention to any donkeys or chickens on the field. The Arabs have been warned repeatedly to keep them out of the way.
You mean run right over them, sir?
Don't worry about that. They'll duck.
Yes, sir.
B-Flight to control. B-Flight to control.
This is control. Receiving you.
Is the west strip clear? Okay to land?
Well, you better hold off a moment, Skipper. The landing strip's crowded with Muhammad Ali's menagerie. I'll give you a call when it's clear.
Roger. Lieutenant Russell.
Yes, Skipper?
You stooge around until the rest of us have landed. Then lead Roddy down. Maybe a bit timid.
Okay, sir.
Control to B flight. You're clear to land. Come on in.
Roger. Easy on the brakes now, boys. This isn't Luke Field. Let's go.
Roger. Follow me, Roddy.
But TJ, hold on. Hey, wait.
What's wrong?
There's a whole slew of donkeys and arrows by the edge of the East Strip. They might cross over.
So what? So what?
Well, I wouldn't want to hurt them or anything.
Forget it. You won't. Just follow me.
TJ, Skipper, that Arab, he's running right across the runway. Get him out of there. Hey, get him out.
Roddy, you okay, Roddy?
Yeah, I'm all right, but I hurt these two donkeys here and busted their cart.
My donkey, my God, I am ruined.
Shut up, Ali. Too bad he didn't run over you.
Oh, the poor donkeys are dead.
Yeah, and you might have ground looped and busted your neck.
I am a poor man, Effendi, poor man. I am ruined, Effendi. I will starve. My wife, my children.
I'm awfully sorry. I wouldn't have had this happen for anything.
Pay me, Effendi, pay me, pay me.
Pay you, he won't pay a nickel. Not a penny, not a sou. How about that, Skipper? Ali thinks we should pay him.
Beat it, Ali. Go on, get away, scram. Hey, how's the plane?
Well, it's not hurt much. A couple of dents.
I had to avoid hitting Ali, sir, so that made me swerve into the cart.
A very dumb stunt, Lieutenant. You were nowhere near hitting Ali. You had your orders and you didn't follow them.
Yes, sir.
Turn your plane into the crew chief for a complete check. Next time, hold your course no matter how many carts you think you're going to hit.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my capitan, oh, Effendi, my wife, my children.
Get out of the way. I think you wanted your donkeys killed.
So do I, Skipper. Come on, Roddy.
Oh, all right, T.J., but...
Effendi, you are rich American, and I am poor man.
Look, I can't talk now, Ali, but I'll see you by the main hangar in half an hour, okay?
Oui, oui, it's okay, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
All in. Lieutenant Johns is here now, Captain Barnum.
Send him in.
Yes, sir.
Lieutenant Johns reports his orders, sir.
Oh, yes. I have some money for you.
Money, sir?
How much did you pay Muhammad Ali?
Oh. Why? $50, sir.
Now, the MPs picked him up in the village. Here's $38.70, all he had left.
But, sir, I thought that... Well, after all, I did kill
them. They weren't his donkeys.
Oh, they weren't?
No, they belonged to Mustafa Ali, a cousin. For another thing, the whole shebang was worth about $10 American money. Muhammad Ali played you for a sucker.
Yes, sir, I guess he did.
Well, after this, kindly allow me to deal with the Arabs.
Yes, sir.
You know, Roddy, an Arab can turn tears on and off like a woman. I suppose Ali told you he loved those overgrown jackrabbits.
Well, sir, he said they were pets of his.
He skinned them, and Mustafa's going to eat them.
Golly. Are you sure, sir? I mean...
Look, Roddy, you're over here to fight a war.
I know, sir.
Well, maybe we'll be moving up to the front one of these days. I don't guarantee it. Just now, they seem to be saving us for the next war. But it could happen.
Yes, sir.
Better keep your mind on the business, that's all.
Yes, sir.
The 819th Squadron viewed Lieutenant Roddy's brush with the Arabs as something which could be put down to youth and inexperience. But the next episode was something else again. Lieutenant Johns, with his tent mate, Lieutenant T.J. Russell, had an afternoon's leave in the Algerian village near the squadron's airdrome.
Okay, okay, pal. So you're going to show me something beautiful. Now, where is she?
Right in this garden, behind the wall. Now, come on over here to the gate, T.J.
Oh, boy, a harem? Not a whole harem.
Look.
Where? I don't see anything.
Lilies and tulips, scads of them. Did you ever see anything more gorgeous?
Flowers. Why, you...
Look, T.J., I never said anything about women.
You double-talked me. You said there were beautiful things bathing in the sunshine. Lilies, tulips. I ought to slug you.
Yeah, but I had to get you to come some way.
Why?
To help boost me over this wall.
Oh, no.
Look, I offered to buy some of these flowers, T.J., but he's a crusty old French gardener. He's not right in the head.
What do you want him for?
I just want them, that's all.
Uh-huh.
You won't miss a handful. Come on. I know just the place in the wall.
What's in this for me?
Half of the flowers.
The deal is cold.
How about a double thick steak with beer at the Red Rooster?
And Baba Rum for dessert and some of those cigars your folks sent you?
Okay, okay. All right, here's the spot. Give me a boost up.
You know, this ain't a marl. It's just plain silly. All right. Here you go. Okay, Roddy?
Yeah. You just walk up and down. I won't be a minute.
If I had any sense, I'd start running. Lilies, tulips. Judas, is that guy a screwball?
Here, Drew! Give him a move!
Uh-oh.
Here!
Hey, Roddy! Shh. Roddy!
Oh, you're an American. You are picking my flowers. It is forbidden. Stop!
Roddy! Roddy,
stop.
Come out of there!
I will shoot! I will shoot!
Roddy!
Okay, I'm coming.
Stop me! Help!
Catch him, T.J.
Help!
Never mind the flowers. Hurry!
Help, surrender!
That guy's unreasonable. We'll have to run.
Well, come on, run!
Don't be so
What's up, Skipper? We going to fight?
Yeah, what's the big mystery, Skipper? Are we ordered up?
No such luck. This is a disciplinary matter.
What about?
I have a complaint from Colonel Rene McCare of the French Army. He says that an American officer broke into the grounds of his villa and terrorized his wife and daughters.
Captain Barnum?
Yes, Lieutenant Johns?
I guess he must mean me, sir.
What? You? Oh, no.
But the colonel's mistaken, sir. I just climbed into the garden to...
You climbed into Colonel McCare's garden? Go on.
Well, you see, sir, I admired...
You admired a girl and you didn't know she was his daughter?
No, sir, not a girl, sir. Lilies and tulips.
Flowers?
That's right, Captain. I was with Ferdinand here. He just went over the wall to pick some flowers.
Well, I'll be.
You see, I offered to pay for them, any price the gardener would name, but he wouldn't sell them, so... All right, I took about a dozen of each kind.
But why? The village is full of flowers.
No, sir, not tulips and lilies. These were the first I've seen. And with Easter coming on, Well, it was a sentimental impulse, I guess, sir.
Decidedly sentimental.
Yes, sir.
You plan to have us all take off on Easter with tulips and lilies in our hair, huh, Lieutenant?
No, sir, I thought I'd mail them back home.
Ah, to the little sweetheart?
No, sir, to my mother.
Oh. Lieutenant Johns?
Yes, sir?
You will call on Colonel McCare and apologize for your intrusion.
Yes, sir.
You will offer to pay for the flowers and any damage you've done. You'll explain to Colonel McCare that I will issue you no more passes to the village and that you're to be confined to quarters for 1 week. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
That's all. Gentlemen, dismissed.
Lieutenant Roddy Johns had now become the 819th Squadron's problem child. A tenderness for Arabs, donkeys, lilies, and tulips had marked him as a character. So when Squadron Commander Varnum took A and B flights up for combat practice, every pilot knew that he'd have his eye on Roddy. The realism and vigor of Captain Varnum's tactical maneuvers were notorious. There was a running gag among the pilots of the 819th that actual combat with Germans would be like a long, happy leave compared to a practice workout with their skipper.
Squadron leader to all pilots. Squadron leader to all pilots.
Yes, sir. Receiving you.
Okay, skipper.
Ready, sir.
Lieutenant Johns. Lieutenant Johns.
Yes, sir.
You seem preoccupied. Were you smelling flowers?
No, sir, I was checking my instruments.
Now listen carefully, will you?
Yes, sir.
Pete will take A flight to 20,000. B flight will patrol at 15 in the usual top cover formation. A flight will simulate a typical Jerry attack coming down out of the sun in the pattern we discussed at lunch. Is that clear?
Yes, sir, I understand.
Now get this, B flight. You're not being attacked by good friends and lightnings. Jerry is coming down in 109 Gs to kill you. He's a tough, no good butcher. He wants to splatter your brains all over the sky, break your spines, and burn you alive. He'd rather kill Americans and make love or eat or kiss Hitler's boots. Remember that. Okay, flight, get upstairs. And Pete?
Yes, Skipper?
Play every dirty crowd trick on us you can think of. Make it rough.
Okay, Skipper. We'll be seeing you. Hello, Roddy. Roddy!
Yes, TJ?
Now, look, watch yourself when they get to about 1,000 yards. Jerry's been rolling on his back and coming in upside down. Now, if you can catch him just as he flips, he's blind for about 5 seconds, maybe 10. Pete and the boys aren't too good at imitating those hiney hyenas.
Lieutenant Russell?
Yes, sir?
Are you suggesting a long-range duel?
No, Skipper. I just wanted to tell Roddy...
Well, don't. I want this squadron to bore in and slug it out. I particularly want Roddy to mix it at short range today.
Yes, sir?
But, sir...
Yes, Roddy?
Well, my combat instructor, Bronco Gilroy, fought with the RAF and the ABGs, and, well, he had a remarkable insight into the German mind.
Oh, he did?
Yes, sir. He seemed to be opinion that...
Yes, Joe?
They're coming down, sir.
Very well. Let's go. And, Roddy, we'll continue our discussion with the German mind later.
Yes, sir.
Get in there, Roddy. Drive it. Head on.
After the combat practice and the skipper's critique that followed, Lieutenant Roddy John sat gloomily in his tent. He had not distinguished himself. He heard footsteps approaching and knew T.J. was just outside.
Roddy!
Yeah? Come on in, T.J., and get it over with.
Oh, you cluck.
Yeah, I know.
Why didn't you mix it? Why didn't you get sore, see red, go wading into it?
Well, it was just Pete and the boys, T.J. I couldn't even pretend, even make believe shooting at him.
Why?
Well, I just couldn't, that's all.
So what? So every guy in A-Flight shot you with his little camera gun.
Yeah, it did look bad.
Bad? You stunk, pal.
Sure.
Whoever passed you was a fighter pilot.
Bronco Gilroy.
You must have had something on him.
No, I didn't. Bronco had an adult conception of combat. He's against this red-headed slam-bang stuff.
Oh, he is. Well, well, well.
He has 37 victories over Germans and Japanese.
How did he do it? With a death ray gun?
No, he stayed calm and outfought him.
Is that what you started to tell the skipper?
Yeah.
Well, don't. Not ever, do you hear?
I'm sorry, but I think it's my moral duty.
Oh, my gosh.
Captain Varnum wants me to curse the Germans and fight as if I were in a barroom brawl, lusting for blood.
Well, what's wrong with that?
I can't lust for anybody's blood.
Oh, you like Germans?
I despise the Nazis and I pity their dupes, but I'm sorry I have to kill them.
You don't belong in a fighter plane.
Oh, but I do.
You're nuts, Roddy. Can't you see that you've got
to... Bronco and I worked it all out weeks ago. The Nazis and Japs are bloody-minded people.
Uh-huh.
They enjoy butchery and hate and savage vengefulness. Bronco understood that. It gave him an edge, knowing that. He was one of the best, T.J. He flew with Paddy Finucane and Bluey Truscott.
Well, those guys hated Germans.
Intellectually, they did, yes, but emotionally, they kept themselves detached, objective.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
It may be a lot of big words to you. I don't say you should take such an attitude, or the skipper. I just say that it's right for me, and I don't see why I should lie about it.
You better lie about it.
Why?
If you want to stay with this squadron, you...
Lieutenant Russell?
Yeah?
The skipper wants to see you in his quarters right away, sir.
Uh-oh. Thanks. I'll be right there.
Could it be about me?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Well, if that's it...
Where's my cap? Oh, I got it.
T.J., wait. Do the best you can for me, will you?
Of course I will, Roddy.
You wanted to see me, Skipper?
Yes, we're going to fight.
No, on the level?
Just got our orders. Read them, TJ, read them.
Hey, how about this, the Von Duke?
A hot corner, right in the thick of it. They did all right by us, hey?
Yes, sir.
Get your gang packed. We're moving out right away.
Righto.
They really saved us for something good. You know who we'll be up against?
Who?
Baron Gunther von Jungen himself in person.
Von Jungen? Why, I thought he commanded that Focke-Wulf outfit in France, the one they call the Abbeville kids.
Yeah, he did, but they sent him to Tunis.
Oh.
He's our meat. Oh, boy, oh, boy. We go right in against their big killer.
Big leg stuff, Captain.
Yeah, now get out of here and start the props turning.
Yes, sir.
Oh, hold on a second. I forgot. What we better do about young Roddy?
Oh, he'll be all right. He'll shake down.
You think so?
Sure.
I'd about made up my mind to ship him. Then our orders came through.
Let's take a chance on him, Skipper.
Well, okay. Hey, give me that phone. Hello, this is Varnum. 819th Squadron. Give me a line to headquarters. We're going to war.
The 819th Squadron is now on the line at an advanced fighter field near Fondue. The long sweat of training and waiting is over now. They're about to fly their first combat mission. Their twin boomed lightnings squat at dispersal points, sniffing for the Desert Fox. The great American, British, and French offensive has begun. And in the pilot's readiness hut, Lieutenant T.J. Russell is having a bad few minutes.
Roddy, for the love of my... Roddy!
Yeah, T.J., I hear you. Come on, Francine, drink your milk. Be a good girl.
Throw that mangy mutt out of here.
She isn't mangy. Just a little dandruff.
Get her and sit down. You're driving me nuts.
Okay. Gee, look at her drink. Probably the first time she ever tasted milk. But she trusts me.
You know what day it is?
Sure. Friday.
You know what time it is?
Yeah, 5:14 a.m.
And do you happen to recall that at 5:30 we have a little date?
That's right. With Jughead.
Baron Gunther von Jungen to you.
Oh, I like Jughead. It probably fits him. Hey, Francine, none of that. Now, you go back and finish your milk.
Roddy, listen. This is the real thing.
I know. I'm only trying to be firm with this dog. She needs milk.
And I'm only trying to fix it so you won't get your head shot off.
Well, if I do, you can have Francine. Is that a deal?
Shut up now and let me talk.
Take it easy. Don't get tense,
just
CJ.
Just one thing you got to remember. The skipper will be born in. That's the way he fights. So you stay in formation, you hear?
Yeah, sure, I'll stay in formation.
And if you get in any trouble, you yell at me, you promise?
Why, thanks, TJ.
Never mind the thanks. You're our idiot child. Maybe you bring us luck.
Time to go, fellas. All pilots man your planes. Step on it.
Come on, Roddy.
Just a minute.
Well, I'll be... Roddy!
Go ahead, I'll catch you. I've got a tie for Francine.
Oh.
The squadron's first assignment was to escort Billy Mitchell medium bombers to a target near Karawan. The Mitchells were hedgehopping. The Lightnings flew far above them as top cover. Squadron Commander Barnum broke radio silence.
Lieutenant Johns.
Yes, sir.
Are your guns loaded?
Yes, sir.
This is not a practice flight.
I understand, sir.
If you see strange aircraft, they will be manned by enemy pilots. I hate to say this, but I think they will shoot at us.
Yes, sir.
And what do you plan to do about that, Lieutenant?
Well, sir,
there they are, Skipper. Enemy planes at 2 o'clock. Hey, they're going after the Mitchells. Lock close, Skipper.
Hey, it's Jughead.
Jughead and his whole outfit. Dozens of them. Silence. Prepare to attack. Close interval. Ready, let's go. Good luck, Roddy.
Yeah, same to you, TJ.
Kill the crump-bellied rats. Kill them.
TJ. TJ.
You ready?
Two on your tail. Pull up and let me get a crack at them. Hey, they've touched the left engine, TJ.
Yeah, I know they have. They're spied up, but...
Keep your temper. Dive off and bail out.
Bail out nothing. I'm going to murder.
Jump. Don't be a fool. Jump. I'll keep them off. Get out of that ship, TJ. Quick. Right now.
Yeah. Too much smoke. I guess I better.
Hit the silk. I'll watch them. Jump. Jump.
Okay.
Good boy. He's clear. He's out. If that crowd turns to shoot at him, if he turns to shoot at him, he'll do it. I know he will. I'm going to dive through. He's turned. Now! I got him, TJ! I got him!
Roddy, you okay?
Yes, sir. I've got one in trouble. He's going to make a crash landing.
Shoot his wings off. Kill him.
No, sir. I won't have to do that. He's down.
After the battle, Squadron Commander Barnum sat talking in his headquarters tent, Lieutenant T.J. Russell, trying to console him for his bad luck.
Thanks. But tell me, how am I going to face Roddy?
Just the breaks of the game.
You know, Roddy actually got one. Shot down. No probable about it.
We both got some apologizing to do.
Yeah.
Hello. Barnum speaking. What? Yes, that's right. The Kraut crash landed. I saw him. Who? No, you sure of that? I see. Oh, he does. Well, very well. I'll send Lieutenant Johns right over. Thanks. Guess who the Kraut was that Roddy shot down?
Don't tell me it was...
Yeah. Jughead. Baron Gunther von Jughead himself.
Oh, no.
And the Baron is now at base hospital demanding to see the famous American ace who defeated him.
Murder!
Lieutenant Rodney Jones, the young man you asked to see. So, Herr Doctor. I meet the man who caused me my defeat, huh?
Yes, sir. How are you feeling?
Scratches, nothing. I congratulate you, Lieutenant.
We were both lucky, I guess, sir.
Lucky? I have 137 victories. How many victories have you?
Victories?
Yeah, you have destroyed, killed. How many?
Well,
do not be modest.
Well, the truth is that I accidentally killed two donkeys and destroyed one
cart,
and then got you, Baron.
Donkeys? Cart? Me?
I mean, today's fight was my first combat.
Is this one of your American jokes, Lieutenant?
Oh, no, sir.
You claim to be an utter tyro in combat?
That's right.
I cannot accept your statement. It is ridiculous and insulting to a German officer.
Insulting?
Like all stupid Americans, you try to belittle me.
Oh, now, wait a minute. You Germans have belittled yourselves.
So?
You've shrunk from human beings to rats in three generations. Don't try to blame us for that.
This is impudence. Herr Doctor! Herr Doctor!
Never mind calling the doc. I'll leave. But before I go, I think I'll tell you something.
Schweinehund, out! Out!
Listen to me. Listen to me. I was glad I hadn't killed you. I didn't take any pride in putting a row of little swastikas on my plane. But now I'm almost sorry I didn't shoot you down in flames. Europe is full of people who think killing Germans is a pleasure. I can understand now how they feel.
Get out. Get out before I forget I'm a prisoner.
Maybe old Clemenceau was right. He said the only way you make Germans sick of war is to kill about 20 million of you. And if that's what it's going to take, we can do it. A filthy, bloody job, but we'll do it. We've got the planes, thousands of better flyers than I am. And if you Nazis weren't insane, you'd yell uncle right now.
So, I will give you my answer.
And here's mine.
Lieutenant Jones, what's happened to the Baron?
I'm not sure, Doc, but I think he all of a sudden got sick of war.
There is a real city of dreadful night. And the bomber crews of the Army Air Forces soon shall know it well. The charts of Berlin are spread. The courses to Berlin are plotted. Our comrades of the RAF have marked the path with flare and bomb. We are going to visit the Nazi capital by day and by night. Death shall come to the city of death at long last. Have we forgotten that here in Berlin, 7 years ago, truth died on a pyre of sacred books? Do we remember that honor died here when Hitler's stormtroops marched into Czechoslovakia? The crucifixion of faith began in this city as jail doors opened for Pastor Niemöller. Then followed the bombing of Rotterdam. And on that day in Berlin, the Christ-like grace we call pity was dead. Prague, Warsaw, Paris, Belgrade, Athens were swept into German darkness. These cities knew tears and misery unspeakable. But in Berlin there was a smug and gloating calm. Nazi trumpets jibed at Poland. Nazi flags danced in the sad air above Norway. Berlin had become the stony tomb of every ideal which Christianity reveres. Its people turned their stupid faces to Goebbels, Goering, Himmler, and Hitler. Remorse died last, but in this city, remorse is dead. Truly, death and the devil have found their dwelling place. These Germans know they cannot win. Yet they mean to murder hostages, enslave women and children, make Europe their butcher shop until the end. Remember all this, you men of the fortresses and liberators. Warsaw still lives for courage, and Paris for humanity. Prague stirs alive with its dream of freedom, and little Athens is named with love and sorrow by good men everywhere. But Berlin, this great charnel house, this lair of bullies, This satanic altar to war has chosen death. So let it die. Let the great bombs dig a grave both wide and deep. In letters of fire may its epitaph be. Here stood a city that hated mankind and mocked their God. Onward, Christian soldiers.
Victory presented by the Army Air Forces. Sergeant Hal Gibney speaking. This war service program came to you from the West Coast. This is the Blue Network.
We hope that you've enjoyed this recording, and for more happy listening, please visit otrcat.com.